This podcast is brought to you by ORC HSE Strategies, an industry leader in developing innovative, sustainable approaches for protecting workers and the environment. ORC HSE is known as an honest broker and a source of responsible business positions on EH&S legal and regulatory issues. Now, what ORC HSE does is they maintain a constructive working relationship with policymakers in industry, labor, government, and key professional associations. And they keep all members abreast of important legal developments and help them navigate the thorny technical, legal, and regulatory issues that are our lives in EH&S. If you're interested in learning more about the unique opportunities available through ORC HSE, please contact our friend Linda Haney at 202-510-0509. Or, if you'd rather, drop her an email at linda.haney@orchse.com. That's Linda, L-I-N-D-A, dot Haney, H-A-N-E-Y, at orchse.com. Now, let's go on to the podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I am your host, Todd Conklin. How are you today? Oh, man. Oh, golly. There's so much to do. The new year is upon us, and life is grand in so many ways. It's like a big sociological experiment. I should know how to say that word. That's not that hard of a word. Sociological experiment. There it is. You know, like a grocery store. I always think that about grocery stores. Best place to sort of practice sociological experimentation where you don't have to get human subjects approval is the grocery store. Go to the grocery store and you know, practice smiling at people or practice introducing yourself. There's all sorts of ways to do that. Pretty good podcast today. Today we're going to talk with Bob Edwards. It's kind of a road trip, a classic on the road podcast, if you will. And we're going to talk with Bob Edwards about a learning team workshop that we've been asked to do in Vegas. So similar to the fundamentals workshop we did a couple months ago, if any of you guys went to that, a whole bunch of people went to it. It's a workshop. It'll be the 22nd and 23rd in Las Vegas at a Hampton Inn because, you know, that's the way the stars roll in Vegas, baby. No, it's a nice little Hampton Inn. I like it because it's got really good rates. So if you're a government worker, you'll always get the government rate there. If you're not a government worker, you can still get a really super good rate that's about the same as the government rate. So it's a great hotel. They have good lunch and stuff. And we're gonna do just a workshop on operational learning teams, which if you know about them or don't know about them, this podcast will sort of help figure that out because that's what this podcast is about. So Bob and I were driving. We were doing some work with a large utility company there in the American South, and we flew into New Orleans about the same time, so we shared a rental car because every penny you save is a penny you save. So I'm all for that. Got in a rental car and started talking about operational learning and decided, hey, I've got a digital recorder here. So we just turned it on. So it's kind of interesting. There's a little bit of road noise, and you'll hear some discussion about some exciting things that we were seeing there between, I guess that we were driving between New Orleans and Gulfport. I think we stopped in Gulfport. So we're on I-10, which, you know, if you've driven that road, many exciting things on that road. So it was very exciting. But we just had a conversation. And it's a great conversation because it really talks a lot about operational learning. So if you can't go to the workshop, you're fine. I mean, that's okay. If you can go to the workshop, man, we'd love to have you. It's going to be fun. It's the 22nd and 23rd of March, which is kind of weird because that's like a Wednesday, Thursday. But if you want to do Wednesday, Thursday, that'll give you Friday. You can hang out in Vegas and maybe go to a show or something. I mean, that's out there as well. Well, without further ado, sit back and listen to this podcast, and you'll get kind of a good feel for what these learning teams are all about, and we'll talk a little bit more about this workshop. So here we go. Right now, it's Bob Edwards and Todd Conklin in a I was going to try to remember what rental car we had. It was some kind of crossover SUV thing. I can't remember what it was. Well, anyway, it was not. I think it was white or black. I don't ever really pay attention to the color. Anyway, here is a conversation on learning teams and learning team workshop and Chick-fil-A's at 11:30 at night. So here's the podcast. So what do you think, when you think about this class, first of all, why do we want to do it?
Well, I mean, you and I have talked about this a bunch. The fundamentals, you got to start there, get people grounded. But then we us operations guys got to go do stuff. And so the learning team seems to be the most practical sort of method to put this human and organizational performance stuff in motion.
Is it the right place to start, do you think?
It was for us, you know, when I worked at in GE Appliances, it seemed like the most logical place to start, because we certainly had plenty of events, so we started replacing investigations with learning teams, and then that has just grown. Well, I mean, you were right there from the very beginning. You taught us that, and then it turned into this thing beyond safety, right? Quality and operational upsets. So it just seemed like a really nice way. We don't do them for everything, and so that's another reason I think that workshop would be good, is when do we use them, and how much time do we spend on them? And I don't know, there's just a lot of really good practical stuff. That's why I think it's smart to do like a two-day workshop. We were talking about that.
So why do you think it was the right thing to do for you guys at Roper?
Well, because it gave us something to go do right now with the stuff that we just learned. So we didn't just sit there and think, okay, we're thinking a little different because of going through fundamentals, but now let's practice what we're thinking.
I worry, though, that it may get the message that this is human performance. This is New View Safety. You know, that this is it. And so how do you sort of avoid that pitfall?
Just keep moving forward. So, like, when here's the thing that's interesting to me. Like, Safety 2 and learning teams, I mean, Safety 2 is very much a part of what we're doing, right? Learning teams, for me, is, like, even beyond Safety 2. It's when we started realizing the power of collaboration and bringing people together, because we learned from Hop to quit blaming everybody for everything, and we learned from Hop, you know, just how common error is. And so it just took us away from that sort of investigation mindset. So I think that's a big part of it, is it takes you away from investigating, interrogating people. And so it helps you get buy-in. I mean, all through an organization. So employees like it better because you're not blaming them for everything. Managers like it better because we're getting a deeper understanding of how things happen, bad things happen. And then we're getting better solutions because the guys close to the work are helping us.
But I think it's a little crazy. I mean, basically, you're going out and telling people to actually listen to their workers.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
it seems awfully simple. Is it that simple?
Well, it's simple in concept, but it's just we haven't done it very well. I have people say to me, it seems like common sense, and my response to that is, it's logical and it's true, but I just don't think it's that common yet.
Oh, see, that's a really good answer to that question, because ultimately what we're talking about in this workshop that we're going to put together is, it's really a day and a half, two-day workshop, where what we'll do is actually walk them through the theory of engaged learning. And so I always say the theory is, you use workers to problem identify, and then you use workers to solution identify. So that's kind of the theory. And then actually have some practice, right? I mean, actually get to do some of these learning teams. What do you think the benefit of this two-day workshop would be for anybody who came to it?
So I can tell you what I think the most powerful thing that will come out of the two-day workshop by doing it across 2 days is they will actually get to see the value of soak time.
So hold on. You're actually saying a two-day workshop is going to take 2 days? Can I quote you on that?
Yeah, you can quote me on that. I know it's pretty remarkable to make such a bold statement, but yeah. That the 2 days, though, brings us all together to sort of witness and experience this thing we call soak time. I had no idea how valuable that was, except that now I've done hundreds of learning teams, and there's no way I would do one without soak time.
So who should come to this? Who would find it valuable?
I think safety guys will. I think quality folks, you know, guys that are kind of focused on trying to help with improving quality. Anybody really that's looking for improving reliability and resilience in their company. You know, we've always been looking for things to get better employee engagement. So, I don't know. We haven't really found a situation where it doesn't work yet. So, that's what I mean. I think pretty much anybody that wants their company to move beyond maybe where they're at right now.
So, the new OSHA sort of revamp, the October 1st new, it's not really a new ruling. I don't know what I'd call it. Sort of an OSHA they redecked everything, sort of. There's a lot more pressure on organizations to engage workers more effectively. Or really, I think if you read it, it's kind of to engage workers. Learning teams are really a good way to engage workers. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, if you just think about if somebody's kind of focused on blaming you and really making you look bad or feel bad. I mean, I hate to admit this, but, you know, in the past we've even done things like the person that messed up, we'd have them stand up in front of the, you know, their fellow employees and say, I'm Bob and I ran into something with a fork truck because I suck. And, you know, we're moving away from all that. That just doesn't seem to help us at all. If anything, it just drives reporting underground. People don't want to talk. When people start to realize that the guys close to the event are not just of interest, they're valuable. I mean, they know stuff that nobody else knows. And when we go in to learn from them, it's just remarkable to watch the change happen when they walk out of a learning team and go, man, I'd do that again. I've never had somebody walk out of an investigation and say, boy, I hope that happens again to me.
Yeah, I bet not. So let me ask you two trick questions. They're not really trick questions, but they're good questions. Why do companies investigate?
Well, the reason I investigate is because that's what I was taught to do. I was taught when something happens, investigate it, get the facts, try to find the one true story, find the root cause, fix the root cause, give me the thing that we can do so this will never happen again. I mean, that's how I grew up.
So you're going to actually avoid repeat occurrences. That's kind of the answer you just gave me, right? So then why should companies do learning?
Well, because with all of the stuff we've been doing, what I found anyway is that if we don't really look at it more holistically and we just fix the root cause or the causes of this one event, I don't know if those exact things will all line up again. But then sometimes they do, or something very similar does, and boom, it happens again. And so one thing that the learning team does is it helps us look more at this is the way work gets done. And so once again, I speak from experience, not from reading a book. And when I do these learning teams, by the time we get even close to the event, looking at the conditions that the guys are working in, it's not even a surprise that the event happened. So now we're getting a much deeper understanding of how this stuff is happening. And if we don't work on it holistically, well, then of course it's going to happen again or something similar.
Is this in a way kind of a way to ward off the sort of the after effects of Taylorism?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know my thoughts on Taylorism, and it tackles a bunch of issues that I see from Taylorism, the whole notion of the planner being smarter than the worker. I mean, the guy that plans the work is smart, but so is the guy that does it 1,000 times a day. And so if we, it sounds so obvious, but if we really do respect each other and listen to each other, and mean it, not just say, well, I got to do this because it's on my scorecard, but to go there and say, hey, the guy that shoots those screws all day long, he's going to know how those parts go together better than I will as a design engineer, even though my drawings show it all going together great. Yeah, but he knows the variability of everyday work way better than I do. So now he's bringing something to the conversation that I don't have to make a decision to shift something with his team to make that more reliable and less likely to happen.
And that's the point in learning, right? Is you give management better information, and then managers make better decisions. Because I think one of the things that's really important is we don't get bad corrective actions because managers are mean or, you know, evil or stupid.
Although managers might be all three of those things. I'm not saying they aren't, but they could. Mostly they're not, right? We get bad corrective actions because we put bad inputs into the system. So if we're desperately looking for a root cause, then we're going to fix that root cause, even though the cause is probably nothing more than just the trigger for the event and probably is no more causal than any of the other potential things that happen, the other conditions that exist in the system that could actually make the failure happen. So that's a really good way to look at it. So walk me through the 2 days. What's going to happen?
Well, donuts. Now we're going to start?
Well, every meeting is better with donuts, but these hotels nowadays don't really serve donuts. They serve, like, Danishes and fancy pants, rich people, breakfast pastries. Not the food of the working man, the donut.
All right, so bagels. We'll start with bagels. I think probably the way it would makes the most sense to me would be, let's do some training on what learning teams are and how we do them, and then let's actually do one. I mean, we can give them a scenario and let them break up into teams and actually take the flip charts and maybe a little role playing, you know, goes a long way. And we know this, the actual near miss condition that we're working with, so we can answer the questions as they have, you know, as they dig in deep, and then give them that soak time and let them actually come back together, let them experience it. So we talk about how we do these, why we do them, when we do them, who's involved, and then let them actually practice it, and then kind of wrap it up on that day two after we have our second learning session with the discussion about the value of learn, soak time, learn, and, you know, the things that we're seeing here that seem to be very helpful and move us away from this fix it quick mentality.
And so when they're done at the end of the day, 2 days, day and a half, whatever it is, when they're done, they'll really leave there with the ability and the confidence to actually go out and do learning teams almost immediately.
Yeah, that's the goal. And to be able to jump a building with a single bound, I think that would be another thing.
Well, I think a single bound is just showing off. That's something you do when you're a mature superhero. Okay. A young superhero, it's okay to take a second or third bound.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that actually ties in nicely with when you do a learning team, it's okay to be a little nervous about it, but do it. And they should, they will. They'll feel comfortable enough, I think, to leave and go try it out. And then once they do one, it'll happen just like it has with me and everybody else that's doing these. And they'll see the how practical it is and how doable it is, and it'll start to become a new way of looking at events.
So at the end of the workshop, you're going to leave with the resources and information, with practice and with skills to actually start doing learning teams almost immediately. Even though I would say, not even under my breath, I'd say it out loud, anyone can do a learning team anytime. It's not hard to do. But I do agree that the chance to sit in a safe place and practice and, you know, learn the skills, that's pretty meaningful.
Yeah, and plus we give them all of our cool slides, so that's always a bonus.
It's true. You will get copies of every slide. We will take care of that for you every single time. So anything else we're missing?
I just, you know, looking forward to who all signs up and comes out there. We had such a good time and then packed the house with the fundamentals. I hope we pack the house with this one and have a lot of people show up, and we'll have a great couple of days together.
That was super fun. I agree. Okay, there's a Chick-fil-A at exit 34B. I vote we stop and get a little nightcap.
Well, there you go. I hope that was good. I mean, let's recap a little, because I think it was moving all around, as a car conversation will. I mean, you know, that's what car conversations do, is they move all around. 22nd and 23rd of March 2017, open workshop for anybody who wants to. We're going to limit it probably to 27 or 28 people, just because that seems to be the better size. And it's all entirely focused on the learning team. So it's not going to have the fundamentals component. So it's going to assume, in fact, you've got the fundamentals component. It's going to focus really on engaging workers in problem identification and engaging workers in solution identification. In a way, we're sort of putting operational legs to the idea that we have to shift the way we see workers from problems to be solved to actually powerful solutions to be used, gathered, gained, and create improvement. And this is one way to do it. It's a tool. It's a tool like any other tool, but it's a really good tool. It's a good tool because it builds engagement. People like it. It's fun. and it saves time. It's incredibly efficient. It's not expensive, and it works. It really gives you better data by which to write improvements. And when you put better inputs into your improvement system, you get better outputs out of your improvement system. It's that simple. But it's easy, and you're welcome. More details will come on it, I'm sure, but start thinking about it. If you're interested, as always, you can drop me a line at toddconklin@gmail.com. We've already got some people signed up, so even before the podcast, that's what started the conversation in the car. So even before the podcast happened, we started talking about, oh, well, yeah, maybe this is getting real and we have some time. So that's the story as we know it. You're welcome. We'd love to have you, actually. It's going to be fun, and it's very workshop-y. It's going to be a couple days. One of the reasons is to build in that soak time. You heard Bob talk about that. But also because this is the goal of this workshop is to really give you the tools and the knowledge and the practice time to go out the next day and do one. So there you go. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm so pleased. You know, we were called just the other day the Pioneering New View Safety Podcast. I like that. I might build that into the logo. Pioneering. I like that. That feels kind of interesting. Until then, though, keep listening. There's a bunch of cool stuff coming. You'll be really surprised at how many cool people are going to be on the podcast. As always, learn something new every single day. I bet you did today. Have as much fun as you possibly can, and for goodness sakes, be safe. One more thing in case you care. Chick-fil-A is closed. When you pull into the Chick-fil-A on exit 234 at 11:30 at night, it's closed. There will be no waffle fries for you that evening.